The next presentation that's meeting the health needs of human trafficking survivors. And it's by Susie Baldwin, but Susie is not here. Co-presenter, who is Tamkate Jenkins. Tam is an MPH and a Master of Social Work student at UCLA. So you see that this session is UCLA dominated. Yeah, we put it that way. So, Tam, over to you.
Hi, everybody. I actually go by the name Kit, but I am a UCLA student. I also want to give a shout out to my alma mater, Brown University. So, UCLA and Brown. Dr. Susie Baldwin has nothing to disclose, but I would like to disclose that I am not Dr. Baldwin, so if you have any really important questions, we can provide contact information for Dr. Baldwin afterwards, so I apologize if there's something that I can't answer today. And I am also not a medical provider. So I wanted to start off real quick by discussing or providing an overview of some of the health needs and well-being considerations for survivors of human trafficking. As you can see here from this list, there are immense physical, mental, reproductive, and reproductive health effects that survivors of trafficking experience, and there are also social and economic well-being considerations as well. When there is labor exploitation, when there is abuse, when there is deprivation of conditions and unhealthy and dangerous living and working conditions, there are quite a few things to take into consideration. I also want to note that in cases where there is coerced use of drugs and alcohol, it is not just survivors of sex trafficking, but it's also in cases of labor as well. There is one particular case in Florida where the farm workers were kept drunk the entire time so that there would be less chances of resistance and trying to escape. And I also wanted to note here, you can see in the photo, this is actually an ad for, it's an anti-trafficking ad from France. And if you look a little bit closer, you can see that the hand is melting into the broom. And it's to highlight the fact that for survivors or victims of human trafficking, the identity of the person is lost, but instead, the only consideration is the work that they're doing, and that's the only focus. This is a diagram that was created by Kathy Zimmerman and her colleagues back in 2003, and this is the study that Annie had referenced before. And it depicts the health needs of trafficked individuals, and it intersects a lot of the health needs of immigrants, victims of violence and torture, sex workers, and exploited workers. And so even if we don't have a great understanding of the health needs of victims of human trafficking, we can take into consideration the health needs of these other groups of individuals and take what we know, but also apply it into the health needs of survivors of human trafficking, but also keep in mind that it is a complex picture that, you know, a person who is trafficked might have health needs that are both intersecting of immigrants as well as an exploited worker as well. In the study in 2008 that was published by Zimmerman, it was a study that looked at the health needs of 192 women from 7 different European countries, and I just wanted to highlight that 63% reported 10 or more concurrent physical health problems. That's reporting that they have a headache and abdominal pain and 8 other or more physical health symptoms. That's quite a bit, and when you compare that to the types of health symptoms that U.S. females are reporting, it's up towards the 95th percentile, and so the health needs are quite immense. And there's also great mental health needs as well. That is another area that we're still trying to navigate. This is information taken from a study conducted by Dr. Susie Baldwin. It was a smaller study conducted specifically in Los Angeles, but the female survivors of human trafficking came from 10 different countries from 6 different continents, but all the work was done in Los Angeles. And the survivors reported symptoms that were related and unrelated to the specific traumatic events that they experienced. And there was a great amount of mental health symptoms as well. symptoms of depression, hopelessness, suicidal ideation or attempts. And so again, the help needs are quite immense, and it takes into consideration physical and mental and reproductive health well-being. This is just a list of symptoms. Note that 100% reported some type of pain and 92% reported headaches. And over here, 80% reported symptoms of depression, 70% reported sleep problems and nightmares, and 80% reported fatigue. But there's also a high rate of other symptoms as well. And so when we're looking at the long-term medical needs of trafficking survivors, it is very similar to our health needs. And so it goes from primary care to preventative care, but also goes all the way through to specialty care, sexual reproductive health care, mental health care in particular, chronic disease management, but also dental and vision care. And also we need to keep in mind that alternative and non-Western therapies may also be appropriate because it is a population with quite a number of immigrants, or all immigrants, and so something that is a Western medical model may not always be appropriate or addresses all the health needs of the trafficking survivor. Reproductive health care needs in particular is important, especially if they were sex trafficked or trafficked for sexual reasons, and so a medical provider may need to provide treatment for STIs, but also need to be aware that there may be abnormal pap smears or other reproductive health needs as well. I'm going to skip over this a little bit because I'm not as familiar with the medical stuff. In terms of contraception counseling and provision, I wanted to link it back up to Annie's presentation again because there are great cultural concerns when providing contraception counseling and provision and also pregnancy-related care. Cultural issues are really inherent to family planning, and even the concept of planning a pregnancy is foreign to many of the international trafficking survivors. But given their extensive physical and mental health issues, along with the current economy and their taxing social circumstances, preconception counseling and pregnancy planning is essential. And I wanted to also note that California, we're lucky in that there is public funding for family planning for all low-income people, regardless of immigration status. So even if the survivors are not certified trafficking victims, California and medical providers in California can still provide medical care. Likely this is a little bit more difficult to do in some other states. And I wanted to shift the focus now to mental health care as well, because again, if you recall back in the chart of symptoms, mental health care is a great area of need, especially with sleep disturbances. And what's not listed here is that many of these symptoms intersect with post-traumatic stress disorder, and because there may be traumatic events within the trafficking experience, that's another area to keep in mind as well. Somatization is a particular area, just because there may be symptoms that the patient reports to the medical provider, such as abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, but there might not be a specific physical ailment that the medical provider can link it back to. And so it could lead the medical provider to think, is it all in her head? What is it linked to? But there may be these other unexplained links that we don't quite understand yet. Are there hormonal mediators, neurologic or immunologic ties to the physical and mental well-being? And so again, we need to tie it back to mental health provision of care as well. And again, we just want to focus on providing trauma-sensitive medical services that incorporate mental health care. But it's really difficult to achieve in the current state of our healthcare system. I mean, most of us, even if we're not trafficking survivors, probably have faced some difficulty with finding all the types of medical services that we might need. And so consider us, if we do speak English as a primary language, but to link up mental health care to physical health care and to have that coordination. But then when you add on the fact that survivors, are victims of multiple types of trauma, are navigating a new healthcare system, are navigating a whole new world, that's quite a bit of care and a lot of case management and a lot of coordination that's necessary to provide the type of care that's necessary for recovery. These are all issues that I'm sure you're aware of and that we've mentioned many times before. I wanted to highlight stigma regarding mental health issues in particular, because there are many cultures that might not have the types of language or vocabulary that we use to discuss mental health issues. So when we're discussing what is hopelessness, or what is anxiety, or sleep deprivation, or what sort of nightmares are you experiencing, or if you're having hallucinations, or if you're having flashbacks, there are a lot of mental health issues or symptoms that might not have the vocabulary that we can translate. So how do we provide proper mental health care when there isn't that type of translational or cohesive translational issues? And again, uninsurance and coordination of care is really important, providing case management. Again, our current state of medical health care is something to highlight. The Affordable Care Act is something that, you know, many public health practitioners have fought really hard for, but it's not enough for even us. So then to also provide comprehensive health care for survivors of human trafficking, we need to go beyond that and provide perhaps a universal health care system so that all of us have access to health care. And how to get involved, most states will have a task force that is funded by the Department of Justice, and these task forces bring together law enforcement and social service agencies who work with survivors and also try to prevent trafficking. So as a public health practitioner, you can link up with one of these task forces in your state. But you can also connect with other types of service agencies and case management providers, as well as community clinics, mental health providers. Faith-based organizations may also be really important, as well as student groups, similar to the student group that I volunteer for at UCLA, which was how I became connected with Dr. Baldwin and Annie, the Anti-Trafficking and Human Rights Coalition at UCLA. We provide health workshops for the residents who live at the shelter that is organized by CAS, the Coalition Against to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. And this is just to close it out. Dr. Baldwin wanted to highlight the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and specifically in Article 4, it states that no one shall be held in slavery or servitude. Slavery and the slave trade shall be prohibited in all their forms. And today's human trafficking is today's version of slavery. And so we need to fight it. We need to move beyond it. We need to provide proper services and really respond to this great need. And that's all.